everyone. Welcome to the New Heart Church Leadership Podcast. We believe that as you invest and listen to this message, that your life is going to move forward. So get ready for an incredible message.
Welcome, everybody, to Prayer and Leadership. How are you all doing? If you are listening right now, we are so glad that you are listening. Come on, tell them that we're glad that you are listening. Everybody in the room loves you already. I want to talk about this statement. I am a leader of thought before I am a leader of action. I'm a leader of thought before I am a leader of action. 2 Peter 3:1 says, "This is my second letter to you, dear friends, and in both of them, I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory." And in both of them, I've tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. There is an easy correlation between leadership and what you get people to do. And if you can get people to do a certain thing, then you must be a good leader. Or if you focus on what people do, that's how you lead them, would be even more specifically something that we think about often. And we attack actions all the time. And just before you think, well, I'm not really a boss, or I'm not really, this is how we lead in every situation. Whether you lead yourself, you lead in a family, you lead in a marriage, you equate your leadership with the things that are being done. And then you course correct to change actions to better fit wherever you want to go. And so that's how you lead, and that's how we think of it. Instead of, I think, something that would be more beneficial would be starting on the thinking level before you start attacking the action level, because actions are the fruit of our thoughts. So when you lead, if you want to lead with more success, whether it's yourself or family or wherever you find yourself in leadership, and again, leadership is just having influence in some situation or person or wherever you find yourself needing some influence, if you want to have more success, you want to make sure that you attack the thought process before you just get on with the actions. Actions are fruit, thoughts are root. And so if you start working on the root level, then you're going to get the action right. But if you never attack root, you will always be running around trying to manage fruit and wondering why it's not working right, and wondering why. And a lot of times we attack the action, we attack the fruit, because we first do it because it's more easily seen, and it seems like it's easier. So I don't want you to have apples, I want you to have oranges. Well, we all know that that's almost impossible unless you change what is happening underground. So if you want apples, you got to uproot the orange tree. You got to put in now an apple tree. You have to change stuff. And a lot of times we don't like to get down to the roots of things because we see it seems like it's more work. But I'm just telling you, in the grand scheme of things, it's less work overall when you start attacking thoughts. So this is why Peter said, I am trying to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I've written two letters to you, and they've both been around your thoughts. And a lot of times, when we talk about anything in leadership, we talk about actions. Instead of realizing, if I'm gonna change the way that I act, I have to change the way I think. Because your thoughts always lead to your actions. There are things that you do, that I do, it's a reaction. And the reaction comes from a thought. And thoughts get ingrained. And after a while, thoughts become reflexes. And reflexes are always just actions. But reflexes are actually just thoughts that have been done over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And so when you run into perfect example, when something happens, when somebody says something negative to you, what is your reaction? Do you pray for them? Or do you think, I could throat punch you right now? Yes. You know, like, what is your thought when that, what is your immediate reaction? So listen, the reaction, the first, what's a reflex? What's a reflex? That's where you want to, what the Bible talks about, capturing your thoughts, making your thoughts captive, coming back and saying, no, 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 no. And I love what Peter said. I'm trying to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. Make it fresh what happened good in the past. I'm trying to get you to have this wholesome thinking. And when I started thinking about this, I was realizing that so much of what we think, especially when it comes to reacting in different things that we see around in our world, is honestly negative. It's not wholesome. It's not positive. It's not with eyes of faith. It's with eyes of fear. And if you let those unwholesome thoughts live in your mind long enough, they will germinate into something that will turn into an action. And so Peter says, we got to start in the mind. We're going to lead in the mind first before I lead in actions. So there are things that happen in parenting that you're like, just do this. Well, first I got to work on the mind. Well, the mind is hard. Because you don't see what everybody's thinking all the time. And how do you get into somebody's thought process? And how do you go through it? I just want to go through some of these changing the way you think, especially when you get down to the stimulate wholesome thinking. Because there are some negative thought patterns that we all have that we don't even realize we have. And we run on them. We literally just, we pray, we read our Bible, we do our thing, we come to church, we smile, all the while having a negative thought pattern running around in our life. And then wondering, why am I doing this dumb thing? Why am I dealing with this action over and over and over again? Why? It's because we're not leading in the right place. Yeah. We're trying to lead actions when we should be leading thoughts. Yeah. And so one of the things that's unwholesome thinking is negative self-talk. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where you're always running yourself down in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. So good.
And you just keep telling yourself this negative thing about yourself, this negative thing about yourself, this negative thing about yourself. You know, one of the reasons that people do this is because if I rip myself down first, no one else can. Because I'm so afraid of being rejected that I'll reject myself first. And if I reject myself first, guess what? You can't. And so you just run in your mind this negative self-talk all the time. also what happens with negative self-talk. If I continually beat myself down, guess what? I will, what I'm trying to do is get your pity instead of your feedback. I would rather want you to feel sorry for me than you to challenge me. So I'll continually run myself down in my mind and let you know about it too, so that I can receive more pity than I can receive challenges in my life, because I don't want to be challenged. I want to be pitied. I would never say that out loud, but that's how I actually feel. This is negative self-talk. It's not wholesome. It's not stuff that's going to help you. And so how do you change that? You have to look at how you're thinking and rewire that. And how you rewire that is you use God's thoughts to become now your thoughts. What are God's thoughts? One of them, if this is negative self-talk that comes through your mind all the time, Jeremiah 1:5, before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nation. Meaning, God looked at Jeremiah and said, even before you were born, I had a plan and a purpose for you. And it was to be a prophet to the nations. So I look at myself and I start rewiring my brain and I say, before I was born, I was set apart. Before I was born, God knew me. Before I was born, God knew what things would be my strengths and what things wouldn't be my strengths. Before I was born, God knew the things that he was going to bring me into and the things he was going to keep away from me. Before I was born, God knew the things I was going to step into and the things that I needed to stay away from. Before I was born, God knew how he wired me, how he put me together. And so because of that, he knows my weaknesses and he knows my strengths. And so because of that, I know that God did. Before I was born, God put me in place. So I don't have to fight for a place. God put me in that place. And so I'm going to start telling myself that over and over and over instead of running myself down all the time. Because I want wholesome thoughts to go through my mind. Because if I can have wholesome thoughts, like Peter's, if I can have wholesome thoughts, I'm going to have great actions. Another unwholesome thought: everyone else is the issue. Right? Yeah. Everyone else is the issue. That, just want to let you know, that's an unwholesome thought. Yeah. Even though it feels so good to think it. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Everybody get this one? Like, it's easy to make you the hero of every story you walk into. And everybody else the dragon. You know, and so it's easy to everybody else. It's my roommate's the issue. It's my church is the issue. It's my it's my marriage partner's the issue. It's my kids who have the issue. It's my teacher that has the issue. It's my kid's teacher who has the issue. It is my coach who has the issue. It is the pastor who has the issue. It's everybody else's fault. But if you have that unwholesome thing running through your mind, what happens is, here's the byproduct of that, is you will change from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing. You will never stay planted anywhere. Do you wonder why so we have so much of a transient culture and everything? Can't ever keep a customer. Can't ever keep somebody in church. Can't ever keep anybody in one place for too long. Can't everybody, how long you been living here? About 6 months, but I'm getting ready to leave. Do you understand why that has happened? And you can give me all the statistics of, well, you know, we have more ease of travel and the world's gotten smaller and you know, with social media and all this kind of stuff. I get that, all that. But I would also think maybe it's an unwholesome thing that's going through our minds that we always think it's the place place that I'm in and the thing that I'm fighting that is the wrong thing. And if I just move, this is not a new thing. We've talked about this, that the grass is not greener on the other side. It's just greener where you water it. But we don't understand this in our mind. We have this unwholesome thing that runs through. It's always this other person's issue. It's always this other person's thing. And so what it does is it uproots you before you should leave somewhere. Because you think that the other thing is the thing that needs to change. And so because you don't have control over the other person, you only have control over you, you think the only thing that's left for you is you to leave. Instead of looking at yourself, look at this. Here's wholesome thinking. Proverbs 16:7 says, when people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them. Anybody get that? When your lives please the Lord, even your enemies are at peace with you. So what does that mean? It means if I keep working on myself and making myself pleasing to the Lord, He will take care of every single thing that is out there. Even my enemies will be at peace with me. Even that person that I just can't stand. No. If I keep, Lord, I'm trying to make myself the very best that I can be. Guess what God does in that moment? God says, I'll work on the issues that you can't. I will even make your enemies be at peace with you. Do you really believe that? Some of us, we read this and we think, well, it sounds like it's nice, churchy, but that ain't going to happen. You don't know how crazy my neighbor is. Like, they're nuts. God says, if you live a life that's pleasing to me, I will even make your enemies, even the person you work with, that you're like, please, somebody fire them. Fire them. Just fire them. They're terrible. They are horrid. They have even bad breath. Everything about them is terrible. God says, if you put your life in front of me and please me in everything that you're doing, I will work on the situations where even your enemies will be at peace. That's wholesome thinking. Instead of having that unwholesome stuff running through our brain. Here's another thought. It's always going to end bad. It's always going to end bad. Even when it's good, it's going to end bad. At some point, the other shoe is going to drop. And that thought process, what that does is it highlights valleys and makes you forget mountaintops. It highlights the stuff that you've walked through that's really hard, and it erases all the things that were really great that God did. And so you keep having these thoughts of, it's too good, it's too good, it's too good. It just means that it's going to be bad pretty soon. And it highlights valleys. And so what you do is what happens is that you start thinking, okay, if it's always going to end bad, then you know what? Maybe I should sabotage it right now. So this happens in relationships specifically. Like you're in a good relationship, a good dating relationship. You've been in bad ones for a long time, and it's going too good. And so somewhere you look for a place to kind of sabotage it to get out of it because you're just so scared of a bad ending. Again, unwholesome thinking. It's always going to end bad. It's always going to end bad. And you highlight valleys and erase mountaintops. But I need to rewire my thinking, right? I want to lead my thoughts because my thoughts turn into actions. So how do I lead my thoughts? I need to replace my wiring with God's thoughts. And so in my brain, I'm going to start saying, trust in the Lord with all of my heart. And I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. But in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge him. And he will direct my paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on my own understanding. What does that mean? Lean not on all. I'm not going to lean on my history. I'm not going to lean on the valleys. I'm not going to lean on the. I'm not going to lean on that stuff. Some of us have leaned so hard on our bad experiences, and we're using our bad experiences as a crutch to keep walking forward. But God is asking us to not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So that means making God present in every situation. God, I acknowledge you in my hardness. I acknowledge you in my difficulty. I acknowledge you in my anxiety. I acknowledge you in my depression. I acknowledge you in this moment that feels overwhelming to me. I acknowledge you. I look at you and I say, God, you're right here in the middle of a valley. And if you're here in the middle of a valley, you're going to bring me out into a mountaintop. And I'm not going to forget that you have always brought me out, because I trust in you. I trust in you. Again, can I just say, this is, I hope you're seeing this. If you want to lead your thoughts, you need to replace your thoughts. And so how do you replace your thought? You have to have God thoughts. How do you get God thoughts? Yeah. You get them from his word. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Because what he says, he thinks. Yeah. Yeah. And what he has said, he has thought. And what he is saying, he is thinking. Yeah. And so it is his word that are the thoughts that we should have in our minds. And this is what helps us. Last one. Unwholesome thought. It's never going to change. It's never going to change. So when you have this unwholesome thought, what happens is the action that goes along with this is you go on autopilot. And you have no passion in what you're doing. And you only will do the minimum. In any situation. Why? Because it's never going to change. So why would I give my best to something that's never going to change? So you stay on autopilot. You're not passionate. And you give minimums. Instead of understanding that it might not be changing right now, but God always is on the move. And so things can always change. And here's just one of them. There's a lot of scripture you can have on this. One of them, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you. So that means that God says, I know what I'm doing with you. I know. And then he goes on to say, I know the plans that I have for you. They're for good and not for disaster, to give you what? A future and a hope. So when you have a future and a hope, what does that mean? Some point it's going to break. Some point it's going to change. I don't know if it's going to change this year. I don't know if it's going to change the next year. I don't know if it's going to change in 3 years. But I have a future and I have a hope. The reason I have a future and the reason I have a hope is not because I'm so good, but because God has a plan for me. And I'm believing that God has a plan for my life. I have a plan for you, declares the Lord. And it is not disaster. I have a future and a hope for you. And those are the thoughts that are going through my mind. When I wake up in the morning and something hasn't changed, change. I'm not going on autopilot. I'm saying, oh, wow, God, I thank you that you have a future and a hope for my family. I thank you have a future and a hope for my bank account. I thank you have a future and a hope for my relationship. God, I thank you have a future and a hope for my kids. I thank you have a future and a hope for everything that I'm walking in right now. You have a future and a hope. And because you have a future and hope, I now have a future and a hope. And I'm not going on autopilot this morning. I'm not going with just the minimum. I'm just not going with no faith. I'm not going with no passion. I have more passion today than I had yesterday because I have a future and a hope that was given to me, not by me, but by God. And so it's a different thought pattern that's in my mind. And this has nothing to do with your circumstances. This has everything to do with the way you think. And the only way you can rewire your thoughts is through putting God's thoughts in your head.
Yeah.
Only way.
That's right.
But once you continually put God's thoughts in your head, all of a sudden you'll see your actions start changing.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, I'm starting to act different. I'm starting to see different. I'm starting to love different. I'm starting to believe different. I'm smiling more. Has anything changed in your bank account? No. Still zero. But I don't feel zero. And then and I promise you, what? Why would Peter say, I've written two letters, in both of them, I'm trying to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. Because Peter understood if you get this thing, you will get all the other stuff.
Yeah, it's
good. So Lord, help us.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
To have the right thoughts. Because we know that God, the truth is in even in your word in Romans 12, it says, transform your life by the renewing of your mind, God. We understand you're trying to renew our mind. Not trying to renew our actions first. You're trying to renew our mind. And so, Father, help us to be the best leaders that we can be by leading our thoughts and leading other people's thoughts and trying to get into there, even when it feels like it's hard to get down to the root of things. Father, help us see that it's thought patterns that need to change. It's always thought patterns that need to get uprooted and become something else. Lord, help us to have your thoughts this morning. Help us have this your thoughts today. Help us have your thoughts in the night. Father, as we walk through our life, help us have your thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen.